Come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your word that's funny and deep and enlightening and oh so rich. And I thank you that for such a time as this, you've given us the ability to come together and study hard, real facts and not waver from the truth. We ask that you walk among us tonight. You be the breath of my words. You be the thoughts that encompass about us. And you teach us the truth, the truth, the truth. That we'll worship you, Lord God. That we will worship you as the triune God, and that we'll recognize Jesus as the Word. We love you. In his precious name of Jehovah Father, we pray. Amen. So I want you to know some terminology right off the bat, and I gave you that are in my midst a bookmark. I want you to put it in your Bible or wherever you study, if you're in the Genesis book or wherever, because I want you to know this. This did not come to highlight to me till this week. And I'm going to tell you that I apologize for, we're going to get on some of your pages, and I highlighted like on page 94 in a dark blue, and of course you realize I have a color sheet, and yours is going to look black, so I'm going to have to tell you the words there, because I didn't realize they'd be so dark. But this will help. All right, so when you see, if you could read original Hebrew, which I cannot, but I can look up lots of people that do. When the Bible uses the word God, it always is in plural. The Hebrew word is Elohim. The I am and the end, im, is plural. When it says God, it's the Trinity. Always. G-O-D means Trinity. When it says Lord God, that's the Father. He's got two names, Lord God. Almighty Father. Different. God by itself is a Trinity, because Elohim, plural. Lord God is referring to the Father. And then you should know this, which is really interesting, and we are going to intersect with this word Lord in chapter 3, and it's going to make a big deal. Now, Lord can be Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord and King, Lord of Lords. But it can also be a human. We know that from in English lit. Lord Chancellor, Lord so-and-so. We're going to see somebody show up in the garden that tempts Eve that she calls Lord. That's a tricky word. And I think the easy one is the word. You know who that is. Jesus, of course. So when you segue those apart and you partition them, it's going to help us make a whole lot more sense of the conversations and the dialects and the strategies that are going to go on right here real shortly in the creation and in what happens in the seduction of Eden. So keep this. It's not going to change. And if you need, I'll print more if you ever run out. But I just thought maybe if you had one right in front of you, I also, the teacher in me can't help but use the chalkboard, but the God, G-O-D, is used all through the Bible, means Elohim, the three-in-one. That's really cool when you get a picture on that, okay? And we'll take notes. I'll tell you what my notes are when we come to them, but anyway, let's make sure we've got that done as far as thinking. Bottom line of this whole book is going to be words are important. Now, you might think that's stupid for me to say that. But I think I've proven to you when we did the gap theory that even the word the, rather than a, made a difference. Whether we call the Creator God or Lord God, it makes a difference. Because when I say God, it means the Trinity. I think when we did the gap theory, I tried to point out to you that all three were involved. You remember that? That there was Lord God who spoke, and Holy Spirit God hovered over the dark tohu vabohu earth, and light be came in Jesus that changed everything. That was all three. That was God. And they spoke in unison to fix that mess of the earth, right? We did that. We talked about that being the Trinity. We're going to see the Trinity in the creation, and then we're going to see Lord God, Jehovah, do something unique, okay? So let's talk. There's a little bit of a review about the creation, and I'm just going to take you to day six. We did this last week in pretty good depth. I think Travis read quite a bit for me last week. And if you remember, day six, man was created. Sorry about my voice again. So day six of creation, we will read that again, but that was what we studied last week. So today, words matter, and sequence matters. We're going to learn about some sequencing. Genesis 1, I want to read to you Genesis 1, 27. So God, that means the Trinity, created man in his own image. In the image of the Trinity, he created him, male and female, he created them. Genesis 1, 27. Now what I did right there, for me, I'm taking notes. So I'm thinking, I'm in Genesis 1, and I wrote God or Trinity is the one involved there. You don't have to. This is what I did to help me. If God really means Trinity, who did the creating then? The Trinity did, right? Okay? And I also wrote the word them. Do you see where it says he created them? So that is on my column on Genesis 1:26, the word them. Now, do you know, I never did teach first grade. I was in it one time. But I learned real early that them means more than one. How many of you think them is plural? We all do. Does the Bible make mistakes? No. Do words matter? Yes. I put them under Genesis 1:26 because that's not my writing, that's God's. So looking at the Trinity, God creating more than one. Yes? Isn't that, couldn't we break that down to be easy? Okay. Now, I looked up the word them. You'd think I'd know that by now. Past school, right? Be careful if you don't look at the Hebrew because it really means ha, H-A, dash, A, dash, D-A-M. Ha-Adam is really the word that the Hebrew wrote there. And according to my Hebrew dictionary, God created Ha-Adam, them, means mankind. Mankind is plural. Them is plural. Ha-Adam is plural. So in Genesis 1:26, we're looking at a plural creation that the Trinity created. Wouldn't you say? Okay? I know I'm going slow on this, but my brain has to pick each word apart because them means, in Hebrew, mankind. Not one person. Now, be careful here, too. It says that God created them. We already were talking about a creature that was in the image of God. So it means these human beings that were created were in the image of the Trinity. There could have been a long period of time from that creation in Genesis 1. There could have been. Till where we're going to read a whole different thing in Genesis 2. Be careful about placing things in sequential order. If you studied Revelation with me, I told you John is telling you a snapshot view of what's happening on the earth. I saw this, I saw this, I saw this, I saw this. Not, then there was this, then there. That's a sequential. Genesis is not sequential either. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. We're going to go into chapter 2 and I'm going to pick every word apart like we're doing here. I'm just saying right now in Genesis 1, we have a Trinity. Father God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in tangent, creating more than one human being. mankind. Ha Adam. Them. Right? Okay. I'm trying to belabor this so it makes sense. So everything after this may be in sequential order, but it may not be, because we're not going to hear the conjunctive words like then or following that or then it happened. We're not going to hear that. And we're going to get to Genesis 2 and I'll show you that. For the phrase male and female, he created them. That's at Ha Adam. That's them. That's mankind. Okay? So we're going to pretty well assume that, and I wrote on mine, Genesis 1, mankind. That's a big word. That doesn't mean one man. When we say one man, we're going to say one man. But I wrote on my Genesis 1 side, mankind. You can write Ha Adam if you want to. Remember also, and this is going to play in later, and I'm just going to pass it, because when we get into Genesis, deep into Genesis 3, which is not going to be tonight, you're going to need to know what Lord means. And I'll tell you why. Just a little kind of tag to entice you to study with me more. Eve is going to encounter someone that she calls Lord. She does. And she'll say later, I had a man by the Lord. When she births Cain. That's what she said. You need to understand what Lord means. I call Jesus Lord. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Yes, yes. But I went back and I said, remember in England, they call people lords, don't they? There were angels that were called lords. They would show up. If you remember when the angel showed up at Abraham, he fell down and said, lords, could you? I mean, they're so magnificent, he called them lords. They can be human. They can be angelic, and they can be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have to be careful in a name. When you say word, you know exactly who we mean. Jesus, of course. So be careful, because I want to interject that now, because I'm going to use that to prove some things in a couple of weeks. But I went ahead and gave you some explanations here so you'd remember, along with your bookmark, so you would know. Going back as review, when the Bible says God, we always mean it's Elohim. It's plural, meaning Trinity. Who is the Trinity? Of course it's Father God. Of course it's Jesus the Son. And of course it's the Holy Spirit. Of course it is. But just so we make it perfectly clear who God is. That's the three-in-one triune God. Elohim is always plural. And some places in the Bible they will say Elohim. That's Trinity too. Okay? Now we're going to find out some other really intriguing things. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read Genesis 1:26 to you again, because we may get some more notes for our side of the paper. Remember, this is the sixth day of creation, or the creation of Ha Adam, them, mankind, okay? Then God said, reading at verse 26 of Genesis 1, then God said, by the way, that's Trinity, right? Then the Trinity said, let us... Do you understand now why the Bible says, let us make man our... It's talking about the Trinity. They're plural. No one ever explained that to me before. Because it's sorry, you're thinking like an English speaker, which we are. Then God said, it seems like God's one person. And then he suddenly switches tenses to let us. No, it makes perfect sense. So let's insert that at Genesis 1:26. Then the Trinity said... Let us make man in our, meaning plural, image, according to our likeness. Let them, and that's the them plural, that mankind, Ha Adam, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth. The Trinity decided that mankind, Ha Adam, them, would have dominion over the animals. Trinity set that up in the very first statement that's made about mankind. It's not talking about a singular Adam. Have you heard Adam's name anywhere? Have you heard Eve's? I heard them, which took me back to Hebrew, Ha Adam, which means mankind, plural. Pay attention. Words are important, and numbers matter. So does "let us make man in our image" refer to the Holy Trinity? Of course it does. Because we now know that G-O-D means Elohim, plural, God. Now be careful when I say that. I say it to you because you know what I mean. I'm not a pluralist as far as God goes. I don't think there are plural gods. They're not. I'm not Hindu. I'm not any of those Far Eastern religions that have hundreds of gods. I have one triune God, which encompasses the three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I don't know how that looks, except I believe it. So be careful when I say plural God. And I'm saying it almost as a misnomer. You can't say plural and God. You'd have to say plural gods. But I can say plural God because the three in one God is three and it's one. How does that work? Not sure. Just believe it. Anyway, that word God means Trinity. And when they spoke in plural. Let us make Ha-Adam, them, in our image. Doesn't that sentence make a lot more sense now when you understand it's the Trinity doing it? So this new creation, this mankind creation, is going to look like God. It's going to be like God. And when you talk about the image, that creation, that mankind, has the image of the triune God. Not like any other creature that's ever been made. We've talked about this before, and I'm just going to insert it just as an aside. In the millennial kingdom, when you are priests and kings with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you'll be walking alongside and working alongside as an immortal, as a priest and king. You'll be walking alongside and working alongside the angelic family that God has too. He loves them just like he loves us. He created them first. They are his first family. We're his second. And I think when we're walking on this millennial earth, we'll be looking side by side at some of our new friends. And they're not going to look like us. We look like him. They were not created in his image. If you know anything about the seraphim, they have wings, they have scales. Some of them have wheels that looks like eyes going around and around. God doesn't look like that. He never created the angels to be in his image. We are the unique creatures that are in his image. That doesn't mean we're not going to have friends with them. They're going to be with us. They're his first family. So let me take this as deep as I can without totally losing you. We had to be created in God's image because God knew Jesus was going to have to come as a man to redeem us. If we didn't have the image of God to begin with, the mankind that he created didn't have the image of God, Jesus couldn't have come in that form to redeem us. I hope that makes sense. It's deep, 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 deep. In other words, by this explicitly stating that we had to, the Ha-Adam had to be created in God's image because God knew even then what was going to happen in Eden, that man was going to fall. And he loved us so much that he even then, the very creation, said, I better make them in the image of us, Jesus, because you're going to have to go back and save them. That's why we're in his image. Because Jesus had to come to redeem us. He didn't redeem the angels. There were angels that fell. They weren't made in God's image. Jesus didn't come back to redeem them. They can't be saved. They had to choose. They could choose to stay with him or not. And we know we talked about him hurling a bunch of them back to earth. But the reason we're made in his image to begin with, because the all-knowing God knew before he made us that we were going to fall. And that he had to make us in his image so Jesus could come as a man. That's really deep. But that's the real reason why. And also we had to have dominion over the animals and over the fish and over the birds and all. Because he also knew Genesis 6 is coming down the pike. And not to give away a good story, but y'all know this. What happens in Genesis 6 is the Satan begins to tweak the image of man, to interbreed it with angels so that we get a freak show on earth. And we had to be above the animals so we could endure that. Only 8 people did. only 8 people got on the ark. Darn near didn't happen. That's another story. So after that Genesis 1, 26, I want to read on, and I am in Genesis 1, and I am starting with verse 27. So, God, you know by now that's the Trinity, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He said that twice. The laws of the Bible, God says it once, pay attention twice, it's a big deal. Twice he tells us we're made in God's image. That's a precursor to telling us Jesus is got to come. That's what that means. He created him, male and female, he created. And I stopped and I wrote here, male and female. This is still Genesis 1, male and female. Does he call him Adam and Eve? I don't see it. Don't see it written anywhere. Let's just read the text. Let's let the text speak for what it says. Male and female, he created them. There's that them again. It's plural. Sounds to me like he created them together. Them. Don't hear one name. More of a generic bunch. Verse 28, then God blessed them. There's them twice. Pay attention. Words are important. And God said to them, that's 3 times. Don't see Adam's name anywhere. Don't see Eve's. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now, I'm going to milk that word fruitful to death in a few weeks. But right here, God's telling them to reproduce and have babies. Did you read that? Genesis 1, he tells them to have babies. Right off the bat. Not my story, his. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God, that would be Trinity, said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree. By the way, I wrote this down. They get every tree. I don't know how many is every, but there's no exclusions. In Genesis 1, Ha-Adam, them, mankind, gets every tree. So I wrote every tree in Genesis 1. Now, am I reading that correctly? If it says, remember, words are important, every tree. Do you see except? I don't see it anywhere. They get every tree. Okay? Whose fruit yields seeds, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Verse 31. Then God, that's Trinity, Elohim, saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. I wrote under Genesis 1, very good. So the evening and morning were the 6th day. We have studied that before. That was the 6th day of creation, but we picked this apart a little bit because I'm going to do a direct contrast here in a minute. So he made things in his image. He had plural creation, male and female, and told them to have babies. He didn't give us names of any of those people. I didn't see any names. I saw them, multitude, man, and we went back and said that means Ha-Adam, which is mankind. And we saw the Trinity doing all this. Did you see the Trinity doing all this creation? And God blessed them. The very first thing God did for this mankind was to bless them. We're going to see a direct contrast to what happens in Eden, where we're going to see a curse. He blesses these guys. He says, go have babies, go eat the seeds. You can have every tree. Every is an important word there. They're going to be in direct contrast. Now, just a question to you, and I think you know the answer of where I'm going at. Did you see a mention of Adam in any of that creation? Did you see his name? Did you see Eve? Did you see any specifics of names? No. Did you see any exclusions of what they could eat? Of the fruits and the trees? Any exclusions? No. Let's let the text speak for itself. That's the creation that we began to understand in Genesis 1. That's the day 6 of the creation week. So I call that day six people. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because I don't have names for them. I'm not going to make up a name. But if that's day six creation, you wrote down the same thing as I did, right? Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you that in this study, there's going to be a description of Eden and rivers and all that. We will get to that. We're not going to get to that tonight. So you have to stay with me to get more. Because that's not going to be conducive to what we're studying tonight. We're studying specifics about the creation of mankind. So I will read that over, but there's going to be a lot about the rivers and stuff in Eden we're going to talk about. Not tonight. I haven't forgotten it. It's just going to be the next lesson, just as we go. Now I'm going to be in Genesis 2, because we get to, after how many weeks, go to a different chapter, Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Ooh, okay. I didn't see that in Genesis 1. So, in Genesis 2, I put God formed man out of dust. Didn't see that in Genesis 1. And it says specifically, if I can read, right off the bat I wrote Lord God in Genesis 2. Who's Lord God? Father. The Father God is the creator God in Genesis 2. Notice that? We've gone from God Trinity to now Genesis 2 is a different story. Lord God, which is Father, Almighty Father God, takes dust and his breath and forms a man. Okay? Do you see a plural men or mankind or ha'adim or them? How you see a singular man formed here? So under Genesis 2 for me, I wrote Lord God. And I wrote dust and breathing and singular creation. I don't see them. Do you? I see singular man. Sounds a little bit different. Words are important and numbers count. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden. Okay, we're in a different setting here. We're now in a different place than was in Genesis 1. So setting changed. Genesis 2 is in a place called Eden. So setting changed, right? To water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. And we will talk about that in depth next week, okay? The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. And the gold of the land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. Then the Lord God took, by the way, that's Lord God. Who is that? That's Father God. This creation in Genesis 2 is Father God. And I know yours probably is black. It may be blacked out because I highlighted it too dark. Took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Right off the bat, you see something. Doesn't seem like this man, this singular man, was created in Eden. It says God formed him of the dust, and then he put him in Eden. So God moved this guy. You can say that however you want to. Different account than the first. This creation was moved to Eden. It says God took him and placed him. Took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And he gave this man a job. First mention of a job for mankind. Didn't hear that in Genesis 1. He said, you've got all these herbs and all these trees and everything you can eat. Everything. No exceptions. Now we're going to get a guy moved into a new location. And he's got to tend it and keep it. Sounds to me like God's putting a farmer and a tiller. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, here's going to be a huge difference. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but, big words should be underlined, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Did he tell that first creation in Genesis 1, they could, any tree they couldn't, no, he said it could eat everything. Here's a huge difference. He tells this one guy that he breathed into made out of dust in Eden, he said, not eating out of this one. You should, for in the day, and please put a big old circle around day. I'm going to prove to you that that's 1,000 years. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Did he talk about dying to those other guys at all? There was no punishment for anything they ate. This is different, okay? Punishment's bad. Die. And the Lord God said, and by the way, Lord God is Father God. So Father God's the one doing this. Said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Remember, what I wrote down, you can write what I, this is a different creation. This man was made out of the dust, and God breathed into him, and he picked him up, and he put him in a different location. He said, you're not eating of this one tree. Altogether different story. The numbers are different. In Genesis 1, in the six-day creation, they're created as them. They're not named, and they're on the earth and told, go eat everything. This guy is breathed into, formed out of dust, picked up, moved into Eden, and said, don't eat out of that tree. And now we're saying, God's saying, oh, yeah, you look kind of lonely. I think you need someone. The other ones he made as thems, male and female, he created them. This guy's created by himself. No them yet. And this is the story of the Eden creation. I call it the Eden creation. We're going to learn his name is Adam. Please know that when he says there was not found a helper comparable to him, why am I milking that phrase? It seems strange that God would say this to this Adam creature, this guy created by himself. Because in my mind is implying that there must be others outside of Eden that could be a helpmate to him. If he created them, plural, in Genesis 1 and put them on the earth, and about the same time he creates Adam out of the dust and breathes him and puts him in the garden by himself, is it saying that God's looking out over the earth at other creatures, humans, women, that are not good enough for Adam? Doesn't it sound like that? Because he's surely not looking at the animals, because God's not into bestiality, and saying, yeah, there's none of those female animals good for you. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about, and God looked upon the earth, and he looked at his other creation. I call him the day six creation. Created them, male and female. He created them. There were females out on the earth. But God looked at Adam, and he said, yeah, none of those are good and comparable to you. Isn't that what that's saying? That's a strange statement, because unless he's looking at the animals and saying, yeah, you can't find a mate among them. That would not be God. God wouldn't even play with that idea. Going on. Now, when we go to Genesis 2, and I apologize here because yours is going to have, and I, by the way, I'm on page 94. Yours is going to be dark, and I will tell you which God word it is. So let's go back to Genesis 2 again. I want to reread this. And I'm going to highlight a couple more words to you. And I hope you're keeping your tally on your sheet. I try to tell you when I try to tally something on. Okay, Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and earth and all the host of them. Don't let that word go by. By the way, host is the Hebrew word salba, S-A-L-B-A, or army of heavenly angels. Why do we care? The whole book of Genesis is going to be filled with heavenly angels. So let's read that again, knowing what that means. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. At this point in time, God had finished creating all the angels. Isn't that what it said? And on the seventh day, that God, I know yours is dark, it's God, which is Trinity, the triune God, ended his work which he had done, and he rested. And that rest does not mean slept. The Hebrew word for that is finished, completed, stamped it done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God, that would be Trinity, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. If you don't understand how important this creation is to God, he tells you 100 ways I created it. There is no Darwin. There is no managing of the species. There is no zoo coming out of the glue of the boo. It's God did it. And this is, he's very jealous about this. He says it over and over. And God created it. And God created it. And usually this, and this, he's mentioning, this is the Trinity. We did it, and we did it well. Okay? This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day. And of course, I think that means 1,000 years. That the Lord God, now that's Father, the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens before any plant of the field was in the earth. Okay, well, we already got a problem here. We spent several weeks studying the order of creation and the plants and the birds and already been created before man came. But this one says, when Father God created before, so of course on my column, before any plant of the field was in the earth. So I wrote, before any other living creature. And that, and it's not really creature. You can say that how you want. Before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Father God had not caused it to rain on the earth. It sounds to me like this is a little different than we had in, if you remember the days of creation, he planted, he did all the, you remember he did the herbs and the trees and he did the bird. Remember the, I did it in the 7 years with the birds and the creeping things and all those. And then the last 6 days, the man was, this sounds different. This says he had man. Father God placed man before any of these were created. Now, is the Bible wrong? Of course he's not wrong. Of course the Bible's not wrong. So it looks to me like in Genesis 2, the Lord God, which is Father God, looks to me like man. We're going to call him Adam. And then the creation of other things. It's a flip-flop, isn't it? Am I losing you? I'll try to go real slow so we don't lose this. And then I've got a really good chart that will help you with this. But this, I'm going to take this slow enough that makes sense. And again, then it's time to talk about the rivers, which I'm going to skip that. And I'm going to go right on to 15. And then the Lord God, which is Father, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. We already talked about that tending and keeping. And Father God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall. We talked about that. Can't eat this one tree. That's different. For in that day you shall surely die. And Father God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Father God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. In this case, in Genesis 2, he creates Adam first. Because then he forms the creatures and he brings them to Adam. It's a reversal of creation order. Genesis 2, he creates Adam first and then the animals and creatures. Genesis 1, all the creatures and everything. And then he creates man. It's a reversal of creation order. Every word counts. And timing is important. I'm skipping on to verse 21. And Lord God, which is Father, caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. The rib which the Father God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." This is a different creation. We don't know how many years Adam lived by himself. I mean, it could have been centuries. I don't know. We know there's a time span. Adam's by himself. Then God creates all the animals and brings them to Adam. And then God says, yeah, but you need a helper. Not creating them together. Separate creations here. Adam, animals, creatures, woman. That's not the story in the day six creation. Not the same. I didn't make it up. It's not my words. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I'm not going to milk this to death because you're going to have to think about this a little bit on your own. I gave you a really good comparison of the two differences. The creations you're comparing is Genesis 1, 26 through 31. I call that day six creation. And then you're comparing that with Genesis 2, 4 through 25. And you'll find out there are similarities. Let me tell you, good scholars differ on this. I want to tell you what the opposite of what I think, what they say is this. Some modern theologians and good scholars, I can't argue, and they're very bright and they're brilliant, they see it differently. What they say is this. That these two creations of humans accounts are the same story. They argue, even though these two stories seem different, and we've pointed out differences, and even though the account of the creation of Adam seems to be after the seventh day in the Bible's text, that doesn't necessitate Adam's creation was after the seventh day. It is common in nonfiction accounts to give a summary of major events, then go back and give specifics as needed. That is what is happening here. Adam and Eve were clearly created on day six. They are the day six creation, as Genesis 1 and 26 and 27 indicate. The account in Genesis 2, 4 through 25 is more detailed description of what happened on day six. What I say is this, don't see it. They're not the same story. God is into the details of even an a the being correct. He's in the details where he gives you a number, pay attention, because that number is different. He said, these are two different, and I'm telling you what I believe, you don't have to agree. As always, believe nothing I say. Let scripture stand for itself. It can speak for itself. What I tried to do is give you your own sheet so you could note differences. The difference huge that I found out this week, and I believe this for several years, but the difference I found out is, not even the same God creating. Trinity does most of Genesis 1. God does. That's the Trinity. That's the Elohim. Father God steps in when Adam and Eve are created. Don't know why? It's not my book. But I tell you, when you know those three words, those different words for God, it looks a little different. Now, do I think that in the Genesis 2, where Father God is creating, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit just left? Probably not. But maybe they were about other tasks. Maybe they were busy taking care of the day six people that were out there. And maybe, I don't know, there's blanks in the Bible that I can't answer. And let the Holy Spirit guide you. I'm telling you, when you take every word and believe every word just like it is, they don't sound the same to me. Scholars, I can remember asking questions like this as a kid to my pastor and say, oh, don't worry about that. That's not important. You just tell people about Jesus. I get that. I tell people about Jesus. I understand who he is. But this is important because what's going to happen is if we don't get this beginning story right, and this is the beginning story, this is day zero for Earth. This is the beginning story. If we don't get this right, we don't understand the conflict that's going to happen throughout the whole story that we're right now in, 2,000 plus years after Jesus dies. We're still in this conflict, and we're not going to understand. It starts here. It starts here between these two sets of people. And the devil's going to come in. He's going to make a real mess of stuff. But we got to get the beginning right. So let's... Now, if you will follow with me on page 96, this is where it's going to get easy for you. Because here's where I did an in-depth comparison chart, because I like charts and graphs. In fifth grade, we spent a lot of time on charts and graphs. So I'm going to show you, and you've got your own. I gave you your own page, too. But I'm going to show you an in-depth comparison, and this should help you. And I'm going to have on the left column the day six people from Genesis 1, on the sixth day of creation people, and then the Eden people, which we all know are Adam and Eve's name. Just a point of interest that you might find curious, I did. Why would God use the rib of Adam to make Eve? It is the richest place in your body for blood cells and DNA. It is the easiest to gather genetic material from than any other place in your body. Wasn't that just like God? He made us to know that. He takes the best and the richest, and he makes another person from it. Okay, so let's go. Number one, we talked about them. The people in Genesis 1, the day six people, were created as thems, plural. It says them. And the Eden people, they're not even mentioned at all in Genesis 1. We have no name for them until Genesis 2. And they weren't created plural. Adam is specifically created by himself first. What's way different? Number 2 point. Genesis 1 uses Elohim, God, Trinity, for the creator. Genesis 2 talks about Father God. And let me read to you something that I recopied. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, and that's Father God, no Trinity here, made the earth and the heavens before any of the planet of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God, that's Father God, had not caused the rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. And Father God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breath of life, and man became a living being, says Lord God, or Yahweh Elohim, or Father God. Different set of circumstances. Number three, them were created in Genesis 1. In the day, six people. They were created as them, and they were told to be fruitful and multiply. It seems as though that particular portion, day six people were created plural. No one can argue with me that them is plural. Trinity created them. It's plural in every way. The Trinity is plural. Plural but one. Created plural people. I could say Genesis 1 is the plurals. Kind of. Because Genesis 2, we have Father God creating Adam. Genesis 2 is singular creation. Simplistic in a way. We don't argue that the Bible does do this. It'll tell you something, which is what scholars argue. The Bible will tell you a truth, and then later on, it'll expound on it. But what the Bible never does is contradict itself. It never does tell you one thing and then go back and change the whole story and flip it around. That's not what the Bible does. When you gather from other verses all over the Bible like I do, it's to reinforce this fact. What Genesis 2 does is not reinforce Genesis 1. It seems different. It's the different triune God creating, or it's Father God. It's creating plural mankind, or it's creating one man. Those are not the same story. And I can't reconcile in my mind that this is the Bible giving you more information about Genesis 1. It's not giving you more information. It's giving you different information. I think. Disagree with me, one. Number four, there's that them again. Well, that's plural, was told to be fruitful and multiply. God does not tell Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply until he kicks them out of Eden. Never mentions it. In fact, we're going to learn in Genesis 2, they're naked and they're not ashamed. Never a mention about procreation. Not to Adam and Eve. Not at that point. Okay? Read the words, not mine. We've milked this verse before, and I'm on number five. When he told them, when the Trinity told them to replenish the earth, that goes back to the gap theory, which I told you. The word replenish was interesting. That word right there is a big deal in the gap theory, because he does tell this creation of them, the plural, the Trinity does tell them to replenish the earth, not to start the earth at the beginning. So that goes into the gap theory. We don't hear that replenish to Adam and Eve. It seems like in the Eden story, in Genesis 2, placing Adam, he's placing him in a new spot. It's not the earth. Eden is not ever called the earth. They're different locations. A lot of scholars think, and we will go into this next week when we study Eden and the rivers and what it is. Most people think it's probably above earth, probably the heavenly domain of Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the heavenly council. Because this is separate from the earth, it's probably his throne area. It's elevated, seems to be on a mountain. When we study the rivers running down, seems to be on a mountain. It's probably God's throne room. And at this time, angels could come in and out. So when the Adam and Eve see the serpent or Nakash walking up to them, they're not surprised because they're surrounded by heavenly beings going in and the divine council works up there. We'll study that more. But that's not the scene of the earth creating people. It's not the same scene. Eden is not earth. They're not the same. God, Elohim, Trinity, is not dwelling and walking around on earth. They will be walking around in Eden when we get further into that, okay? We also know that the woman in Genesis 2 was created from Adam's rib. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't say that in Genesis 1. When Trinity created the people, Ha-Adim, them, of Genesis 1, no mention of dust creation, no mention of ribs. Created them plural. Specifically different creation in Genesis 2 is Adam was first, then he gets the animals, and then he needs a helpmate, and so use this rib. Different creation. It doesn't sound the same to me. And Genesis 2 is Father God doing this. Genesis 1 is Elohim, God, Trinity doing it. Are you getting sick of me saying the same thing over and over and over? I think it just makes more sense if you hear it several times, right? You know I'm doing this for myself. It's really what I'm doing. We are mentioned that if man was created in God's image, but no mention of dust. Those are the two differences in those creations. Let me read to you what Paul says about this. I like to add in some New Testament Paul. Let's love us some Paul here. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. And he calls that man, that first man, he says Adam. Right? The second man is the Lord from heaven. And who would that be? It's Jesus. Because Jesus is often called the second Adam. This man was not made of the dust. Singular man, not the them of day six. So it sounds like Adam, God breathed into, used dust to make him. Because, let me give you the real lowdown on this. It is from that Adam, that man created by Father God, that looked like God. It is from him that you'll follow the lineage down, and so-and-so begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so. And you're going to follow that lineage down through his son Seth, and you're going to take it down through Noah, and you're going to take it down through Abraham, and you're going to go clear down to Heli, Mary's father. Because it is from that man, that Adam, that was breathed into, that was formed of dust by Father God, who knew even then when he made him, it was going to be one of his lineage that Jesus was going to come from to save the world. Ooh, I just got goosebumps. This is such an intricate plan. We can't miss one of the words, and I'm maybe not doing as good a job on this as when you yourself will go back and study it. Maybe you see this. But it was set about from day one because God knew that even this perfect image of him, creation that he'd made, is going to fall. He made us knowing we were going to mess up, but he made a way. Because he had angels that fell before us. Satan took a third of the angels down. There was no redemption for them. Because they weren't made in his image, and Jesus couldn't come to save them because they are not his image. He made this new creation, this special creature that he loved so much that even as he was forming Adam, he looked down the time span of history and saw us falling and needing a savior. And no doubt, the Elohim standing there in the garden talked and commiserated. And Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll be that sacrifice that'll save this image of us that you just made. I'll do it. And that's what's happening here with Adam. The day six people are not Adam. They're not. In day five of creation, remember when we go back to that, and by the way, I'm on point 12. Water was involved. Let me read that just as a memory. In Genesis 1, 20 through 23, then God said, by the way, God is Trinity, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God, Trinity, created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God, Trinity, saw that it was good. And God, Trinity, blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The animals and birds came out of the water. Did you read that? Let's see what happens as a contrast to the creation in Genesis 2. I am in Genesis 2, 19. Out of the ground, and Lord God is Father God. Father God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. It's different. The day six people, they're creatures, they're animals, they're creeping things, they're birds, whatever you want to call all those things, came out of the water. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been mixed up about whether water was the same as ground. If I had a cup of water here and a cup of soil, you think you'd be confused? No, you know the difference. You think the writer Moses didn't know the difference in the creation in the day six people? When all their creatures came up out of the water, and then we go over to Father God's creating of Adam, and guess what he says? Out of the ground, the Father God formed every beast of the field. It is not the same creation. I'm trying to make to you a point. It seems to me like two creations, two different stories. I think the Holy Spirit knows the difference in ground and water. I know you do. I bet you a first grader would. I bet if you offered them a cup of water or a cup of soil, I bet they'd choose the water. I bet they would. And the timing is different. Remember I told you earlier on words matter and so does time? Animals created on day six. I'm on point 13. Genesis 1:24. Then God said, and by the way, that's Trinity. Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping things. And you know we've read that before. Let's compare that to Genesis 2:18. Animals were created after Adam. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast. A difference in order. Man first. In day two, animals second. In Genesis 1, the six-day creation, animals first, man second. It's different. It's a flip-flop. Why? Don't know. Doesn't seem like that would be a mistake the Holy Spirit would make. I think he'd get the order of things right. Sequence matters and words matter. You can't just read over this and say, oh, it's, you know, why are we worried about it? When I research this, I listen to lots of people because I have some really favorites, but then I have some I just happen to come across. And I had one guy that I really thought was pretty good, and he said, you know, really, this doesn't matter. Really, we need to just, you know, move on. No doubt there's exactly the same story, it's just written in a little different venue. No, it's not the same story. Numbers aren't the same. Sequence is not the same. Order's not the same. It's not the same. Now, do I think the Bible's in error? No, I don't. Do I think God messed up? No. I think we have to open our eyes, get past the old paradigm that Sunday school books showed you. I don't like Sunday school coloring books because most of them aren't true. And they would show you this is the same story. It's not the same story. It's a sequence. Okay. I think we have plowed through this. I do want to make a point that it does seem like, and I am on point 15, it does seem like when God put the day six people out there, the instructions about what to do with the land and the materials were different. It seems like the day six creation people that were created in plural were more of hunters and gatherers. They weren't given any instructions about tilling or anything. And if what he said to Adam was different. And he basically said that he was going to put him in the garden to till and take care of it. That's not the same instructions either. And remember, we already pointed out that the instructions to the two different groups is one, you can eat everything. Everything's good. Everything's wonderful. Eat it. But when it came to Adam, he says, nuh-uh. One tree you're not going to eat. You're not even, or you'll die. I mean, that's a curse, right? So that's different too. Let's talk about one kind of final thing, and then I'm going to bring this to a close because I think you're probably getting weary of the details of this, but the details are what matters. If we wanted to placate this, we could do like I did for 26 years when I read their Bible through every year. I just read right through that, went, good story, God, and off we go. It is a good story, but it's not the same story. It's a different set of people in a different setting. Eden is not Earth. Earth is not Eden. Adam and Eve are not the people created in day six. They're not the thems. They're singularly created. And they were breathed on by God and made out of dust. Really important details. Genesis 2:20, and I'm reading this from the ESV. Those of you who know me, I like King James, New King James, and ESV. ESV is this translation that most closely resembles what they found in the Qumran caves. And the Dead Sea Scrolls. So I do like it. It's a little bit more modern. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper. What does that mean to you? Because here comes down the question. Were there other humans created by God, created by Elohim, by the Trinity, created outside of the enclosed place of Eden? Were there others? Were they not up to the standard of Adam, because God's question basically was, he could find no one suitable for Adam. No suitable mate found for Adam implies there were some other choices. I will never believe that one of the choices was that God was going to mate Adam with an animal. That's above anything God's ever said. He never changes his rules. Bestiality is an abomination to God. So what were the other choices then? Where would those have come from? What is that? See, we blow over that question, and it's staring us in the face. There was no mention in the Eden account of other children for Adam and Eve until Seth. After Cain and Abel, there's 120 years or so goes by, and they are out of the garden, and there was 120 years, and it says Adam was 130 years old. After Cain killed Abel, we won't know this yet. We're going to bring this up when we come to it in Genesis 4. He's afraid to go out of the garden. He's still in the garden. He's afraid. What's he afraid of? He's already killed his only brother. Who's he afraid of? And of course, the abominable question that every non-Christian throws at you, that the Bible's not true. By the way, who's Cain's wife? My dad used to say it had to be a sister. Well, there are no other children recorded until about 130 years later. That doesn't hold water. Who did Cain marry? And he goes instantly out from Eden and he creates a city. How many of you think a city is inhabited by people? Yeah. This concept of being two creations, two different sets of human beings, answers a lot of questions that we've never been able to answer. That's in Genesis 4 and 3 and 4, and we'll go into that in detail. I'm just telling you why some of this will come home to you. He builds a city. He's afraid that someone's going to retaliate against him, Cain is. Well, who would that be? You killed Abel. Your mom and dad's not going to, so who's... That makes sense. God marks him so that he will not be retaliated against. By who? The animals? Yeah, use some logic here. I am a truly believer that there is an answer to every question you've ever had right there in the Bible. You've got to get past the fog of the old paradigms we've been taught, the old Sunday school coloring book pictures that are half-truths at best and lies at worst. And I think if you pull this back as you have notes, you saw things, I gave you the key to some of the words. The deities that created these two sets are different. Genesis 1, it's the Trinity. The us, we created him. In our image, it's us, it's them. And then it's the plurality of the creation. He created them. You get into Genesis 2, it's Father God and Adam. The Holy Spirit's able to say everything he totally believes, and he doesn't make any mistakes. Now, before we close, I'd like to see if anyone has any questions. Because I know this is a lot to throw out. Some of you have heard this before. I think I touched on this a couple of years ago. I didn't this much detail. But I want to know, what's your sum up from today? Are you too befuddled to think? Sue, what do you think?
Well, I think it answers a lot of questions that we've thought to ourselves, but when you say anything, like you say, they just tell you to go on.
They do. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Right.
Well, so that's an escape answer for many pastors. Mm-hmm. Tom.
My question is, are they created in God's image to where they follow the same God's law as... Because we see what Adam and Eve how they relate throughout history. We don't see how these relate to it if they're more in the lines of the Gentile that stayed Gentile as opposed to...
I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see the beginning of split. And when we get into Genesis 3, and see the twist that the serpent Nakash brings into the garden, and how then that's going to interweave back to these day six people. I think it's going to be the split that forever that we're seeing now in our history. Good question. What do you think, Travis? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to reconcile these two different accounts as the same. Because, you know, when you pick apart every word, there's singular and plural differences that you can't reconcile. There's Father God creating in one, and there's the Trinity creating in another. And there's first names in one, and there's blanket plural of no names in the other. And it's irreconcilable to me that they be the same story. And the old Pat answer, nothing to see here, move along by pastors, doesn't suffice anymore. When we're digging deep, and every word matters, and every number matters, and every story makes total sense, then let's make it make sense. Could it be that Father God had a perfect place above earth, we call heaven, he called it Eden, where he met with his divine council, the Trinity, and angelic beings coming to and fro, and he wanted a family beside the angels? Could it be? Could it be that he decided with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, let's make a creature that looks like us, knowing full well they're going to fall, and Jesus stepped up and said, I'll redeem them. And Father God said, let's do it. And he begins the story to a new family, not just the angelic bunch. Love them to pieces. We're going to love them. Already do. But he wanted someone that looked like him. So he does day six and he creates them and he puts upon the earth. But then he wants to breathe special life made out of dust to a creature that's going to be the bloodline of Jesus. First Adam is going to be replaced by a second Adam on a cross. And he had to be up above in a garden. And God's first plan was that he would walk with him and he would not fall. And Adam and his helpmate would be forever in that beautiful Eden with the council meeting, and they would be fellowshipping and walking and talking. But God knew he'd fall. And he'd have to kick him out of heaven because he couldn't stay with the tree of life and be in a sinful state until he was redeemed by the second Adam that would come thousands of years later and redeem us back to God. Could that be true? And it seems like that's what Moses is saying. You got a lot to think about and a lot to pray about. And I just pray you do your own study. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts here.
Let's go for it.
I've probably known that I've been asked before. When it's referred to as the words where you've broken out the difference, when it says God, when it says Lord, like I say, I don't think you can answer this, but it says when God created, and then when it references back to that, which God meaning plural, when it references back to that, it's in singular. God
sometimes
created, then it references he.
Sometimes.
Yeah. As you look through that. And
it goes why, back to that three and one.
Yes. And why that is too.
Yes.
Why like I say, I don't think we have any answers, but why was the Trinity, the persons of the Trinity broken out in different creations? Why not the Trinity in whole to create both creations?
I can't answer that. The Bible doesn't tell, but I have a feeling that Lord God, Father God, created Adam to be in the image of Jesus.
And I get, you know.
And I don't know that that's why, but I have a feeling Father God took that on to create Adam because he knew he had to be just like his son. He had to be in that image. I think that. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us.
And when I've always read that, I always took that as the Trinity when it said we and us. But to me,
it means Elohim.
And if I understand this right, in Genesis 1, God spoke everything into existence because it says he said. In Genesis 2, everything was created from something,
mm-hmm.
not from nothing,
mm-hmm.
like when he spoke it in Genesis 1.
Mm-hmm.
But in Genesis 2, it says everything was created from
right.
the dust.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you're asking me questions I have no answer for. I will tell you this, that there are a lot of theologians, a lot smarter than me, that ponder all this, and there's 3,000 answers to that. Most people see Genesis 1 at the very beginning, the Trinity, as in Father God creating, Holy Spirit hovering over the earth, and light be Jesus walking on and changing. That's the picture of the Trinity most scholars see, which is the Trinity in separate forms, each doing something in the creation. I think we went over that during the gap theory. Maybe that's not what you see. I think that's the Trinity, each separate doing their thing about creation. Father speaking, Jesus walking on his light, and Holy Spirit hovering till he can come in. That's what most people think. And why Father God created Adam specifically and not Trinity, I think because his mission, this is my personal opinion, may mean nothing. I think he personally set out to create his son as an image for down the road when he'd have to step onto Calvary. Because he knew his son was going to have to be the sacrifice. He already knew that.
Oh, yeah.
He knew that from day one. And I can see Jesus stamping up and say, Dad, I'll do it. And so Father God created Adam knowing, breathed into him. When it says breathed into him, I did a lot of work on that because I think he breathed into the first Adam that need to redeem the world. I believe that first Adam was made from the beginning to be the lineage that Jesus was coming down. He specifically breathed into him. Why? For us. The breath of life that God gave that first Adam followed that lineage, the begot, down to Jesus, born of a virgin from Father God, breathed from the beginning for this very purpose. It's way huge. It's more than I could have ever imagined. This Genesis creation, we've blown that off. Like I said, I hate color books. It's not the innocent little story. It's way big. It's God, Father God, making something in dust and in breathing that would be our redemption.
And I do think that when he said about a helpmate for Adam.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, I mean, that common sense tells you that it had to be another.
It had to be
another person like him.
Yeah, that was possible out there. It's not going to be an animal. God's not going to change. No. So when he makes that comment, who's he referring to? He's got to be referring to these day six people running on the females out there. And he goes, no, they're not right. Because I have to make him a helpmate that will create a lineage for my son to come down.
For me, I just figured that when he said, I have to make a helpmate, he was thinking, well, I've made all these animals and all that. That isn't it.
No.
It's got to be another human like him. So.
But I think it's more. I think he's saying there's none outside this gates that are going to be worthy of the lineage of my son.
Well, I think, well, usually when you write a story today, you start here and you go to the
yeah.
end. But the Hebrews, some guy told me,
they do.
Like
they go back and then they'll come again and then they'll go back.
And Revelations is that way. Too.
And John writes like that. And we got used to that, not being in. Now, let me throw one other wrench into this before we close it. There are some theologians that believe that because there's no then in Genesis, like John wrote in Revelation, you see pictures. That what if God created Adam first? Remember, this might not be in sequence. And that Eden was created first, and then he created the day six people. Don't know. Doesn't change anything, except it does make a little sense. Don't know.
You know, But there always were.
And like you said,
Adam and Eve, I think that was the first Jews. Their story started because there, when Cain got in trouble, there was a whole bunch of people living.
They were already there. And yeah, when Cain, and we won't know this for a couple of chapters, but you're right. Because when Cain leaves, he gets a wife instantly. Well, if I'm reading the Bible right, and we'll pick that out as we study in chapters 3 and 4, Adam and Eve don't have any more kids for a long time. They finally have Seth. I mean, it's 120 years later. There's no mentions of daughters. I mean, eventually there are, because Adam lives 900 years or something, 930 years short of the one day that he was promised he'd die. And so some of that doesn't make sense till you start piecing it together, that Cain instantly left when he was thrown out. He got a wife, and he made a city in that order. Do two people? I mean, see, he's married his sister. Well, he would have had to wait about 150 or 200 years to have a sister that was born, and then she'd be pretty little. And then why would you make a city for yourself and one person? I mean, let's use some logic here, and let's say the Bible does explain itself. I can't reconcile these two different creations. I can't. They don't sound the same to me, and I can't make the words be any different than what they are. I've read you the text. You have it. You totally don't have to agree with me. I will tell you this. You say this to most pastors. 97% of American pastors will call this hogwash. To which you say, explain these differences in the words, and they'll say, go away, nothing to see here. Go on. There's more in the gospel to learn. Sure, I get it. Jesus is my all, and if I had one thing to talk about my whole life, it'd be about him. But I think when we don't understand this beginning, we don't understand. See, I'm trying to say to you that when God, Father God, created Adam, he was, in a sense, creating the way for Jesus. That's what I think he's really doing. He's setting up the lineage of the second Adam that will have to come to save us. In that first creation where the Trinity created them, they were never going to be the lineage to save us. They never were going to be. Adam is.
Well, since he knew everything.
He knew everything. And Paul calls Jesus the second Adam. Paul nails it. I read that to you in Corinthians. Paul gives us the hint. They're different creations because they're for different things. Yes, the people created on day six are humans. They can be redeemed. They're us. If we're not, you know, if we're not the lineage of the Jews, they're us. That's right. But the second creation, the Adam creation, was for redemption down the road. And it had to be perfect. And it had to be the image of God breathed in, that God formed specifically for that reason. I think we're missing it if we don't understand that. That Adam was the choice to bring Jesus.
Who's to say that there actually was two separate creations? He did it at once, but he set aside Adam at that same time.
Could be.
Because it seems kind of, if you separate them out the way that we're talking about, it's like then God thought, hey, something's not going to work out right. It's what you would have known already. Why would he not create him at the same time or Adam first to get everything started?
Well, some people say he did create him first. Yeah. But we also know that Adam is a special creation.
Yes.
Set apart for, like I told you, because Paul explains that Jesus is the second Adam. If Paul hadn't explained that, we might not have gotten it. Okay, well, Father, we thank you for a hard study. I thank you that your word is hard and wonderful and precious and giving and loving and living and all of the above. And I thank you that in our peon minds that we can get a glimpse of you. And that even if all we see from this lesson is that you thought of us, even in the creation of man, you thought of us having a way to be redeemed to yourself through your son. Thank you that Jesus stepped up and said, I will, Dad. I will do this for them. Thank you that you love us that much and let us be a little bit worthy and let us be very careful not to say anything that doesn't please you. And we offer our whole lives to you in the name higher than any, Jesus Yahshua, the Word of God. Amen.